It's time for the Bob Cerace Show, broadcasting live from the Alchemist and Barrister in Princeton on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Here's the voice of Princeton football, Cody Kruschel.
Live from the Alchemist and Barrister here on Witherspoon Street in Princeton, New Jersey, it's the Bob Cerace Show. We'll be here every Thursday for the next 10 weeks. I'm Cody Kruschel, joined as we will be over the next 10 weeks by the Tigers head coach, Bob Cerace. Bob, saying hi to some old friends.
Yeah, my college roommate's here who lives right down the road. How about that? So everybody wants to be at the A&B right now. It's awesome.
Nice turnout. We'll do this 10 straight weeks. The last show will be leading up to that season finale at home. Penn this year in the season finale as they kind of flip the schedule. We'll talk about that as we go along. But nice crowd here. Great venue here at the Alchemist and Barrister, the new home of the Bob Cerace Show here in 2018. Coach, I guess let's get right to it. The season opener this Saturday night in Indianapolis against 2-0 Buffalo, or 2-0 Butler. The Bulldogs, got to be exciting. You guys are the last Division I team in the country to open your season. It's got to be exciting to actually line up against somebody who's not wearing orange and black.
Yeah, they're chomping at the bit. Like last week of practice when we've seen everybody play and my son's playing Pop Warner games and we're not playing, it was like so awesome to start a new week and prepare for a team to beat Youngstown State 2 weeks ago, beat Taylor last week. It's great for us to play a team of that quality to open up.
We'll go in-depth on Butler a little bit later on in the show. Let's talk about this game. This isn't the first time you've taken on a team from the Pioneer Football League. The last four times, the only four times, it's been San Diego. So you don't get to go and fly out to San Diego here in September, but you head out to Indianapolis. Talk about scheduling and how this game sort of came about. You guys have never played Butler. You guys have never played in Indiana.
Yeah, I've been here 9 years now, and I've never scheduled a game. So this was done well before me in terms of the schedule. But what we try to do, and it was the administration's philosophy before I got here, I agree with it completely. Let's schedule against quality teams. Let's try to get a game where we get to travel. Let's hit areas where we have alumni bases. Let's hit areas where we have, you know, recruiting and guys on our team. And to get a game in the Midwest against a top team in the Pioneer Conference is excellent.
You know, you talk about that, where this is the first game you've really scheduled. Is that just a product of the 10-game Ivy League schedule and how far out you do have to piece this together?
Yeah, I'm working with people in our administration to schedule games now in like 2027, and we spend time in the summer doing that. And you know we're looking at teams from different, you know, areas of the map. We're looking at teams that are, we think are going to be of a high quality. It's hard to predict. You know, 10-12 years ago when they scheduled this game, they probably had no idea how Butler was going to be. And I think when they beat Youngstown State in their opener, everybody's eyes, you know, the alumni and people in the community, their eyes got really big, like, oh boy, we got to strap it up. And our team doesn't care. Our team's going to strap it up every day of practice. Hopefully you built those habits.
Well, it's a conference in the Pioneer Football League that people around here don't get to see that often. You don't know a lot about them. Last year against San Diego, I remember coming into the season, obviously you had played them before, but there's still not a ton of familiarity. And then you look at what they did. They end up going to the FCS championship, or at least the championship playoffs, and they have one of the better quarterbacks in the country. That ended up being a really good opening game test for you guys.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt that they've been competitive for, since I've been at Princeton, San Diego's been competitive. Butler's really built a strong program, really in the mold of San Diego and how well coached they are, how well they execute, and how physical they are. So our guys know what's at stake.
Talked a lot about other conferences, talked a little bit about your opponent. Let's talk about the team that you're going to send out there in Indianapolis. That's a 6:30 kickoff, 6 o'clock kickoff.
6 p.m.
We better show up at
6. If we show up at 6:30, I'm not going to be happy.
This year you come into the season, we really need to start with John Lovett. We saw what he can do 2 years ago when he was the Ivy League Offensive Player of the Year, the Bushnell Cup winner, as that dual threat, that triple threat. You would line him up behind center, you would line him up in the slot, sort of that Swiss Army knife. Now that he takes over for Chad Kanaf, he is your starting quarterback. Does his role shift to a more traditional quarterback role, and how comfortable is he going to be with that?
Yeah, one of the blessings of having some guys, obviously you don't want anybody to get injured, but occasionally that happens and they get a fifth year. And in the Ivy League, you have to sit out the spring. So John Lovett took every rep as the first string quarterback the spring before last year, and we just started to see his maturation as a quarterback, his accuracy, his ability to throw the ball on time, and he has not lost a bit athletically. He's up to probably 235 pounds. He's running faster than ever. And when you have a guy that athletic, that big, and that accurate as a quarterback, you can do a lot of different things with him.
Defensively, you're out there this fall, and it almost feels like an NFL team that signed a bunch of high-profile free agents with the guys that weren't on the field in the season finale the last few weeks last year. Guys you get back, Mark Fassati, Mike Wagner, Kurt Haluba, Jeremiah Tyler, Joey DeMarco, Joe Percival, the list goes on. Just those guys, that's a pretty good Ivy League defense.
Yeah, no, we obviously, and we had, you know, some guys go down last year, and they've been remarkable in terms of the sacrifices they make. Our medical staff's been great working with them, and, you know, to see those guys come back day one of practice flying around the field was really good. And, you know, it's a lot of experienced guys, too. Those guys have already played a lot of football games. And to put Mark, you know, who's here today next to Tom Johnson, you know, at our inside linebacker spots, it's really a, you know, having two leaders, two guys who are coaches on the field, and two physical players.
When you guys are opening the season 2 or 3 weeks after most of the rest of Division I football, does it help when you have experience in those leadership roles? Does that make a difference?
Yeah, it certainly helps that, you know, those guys have played before. They understand what it takes to win a game when you have, you know, the opponent having that, you know, 10 extra practices, 2 extra games, all those things that we can't waste a day. When we go to training camp, we get 24 of them. And if we waste one of them, we're going to be at a big setback when you're playing a team that is a very quality team.
Any concern this weekend, that 6 o'clock kickoff, you guys fly out middle of the day tomorrow, you guys get to the hotel, is there any concern about a little lethargy when you guys are sitting around the hotel trying to keep the energy level up for that 6 o'clock kickoff?
No, our guys don't sit around very well. That's not something that they do. I mean, they are on the go. This is a school where they're challenged academically. They're on the go. They're great guys. Socially, they're on the go. And football time, they know how to flip a switch and be that way and play fast when we get started.
Three other guests besides yourself tonight, 2 of your senior linebackers, 2 of your 4 captains, Mark Fassati and Tom Johnson. Those are 2 guys that earn that captain role.
Yeah, they're leaders of the team. We don't appoint captains. They're elected, and those guys have the respect of their teammates. They have the respect of the coaches, and they have the respect of the people in our athletic administration that are around them all the time. And they've done a tremendous job taking charge, and really makes my job as a head coach easier when they're setting the standards and making sure those young guys understand our culture.
And then Stephen Thomas, who's your special teams coordinator as of last year and your inside linebacker coach. You hired him in 2012. You brought him back in 2016. I guess that means he's a pretty good fit.
Yeah, no, he's done an outstanding job. He, you know, left for a year in the National Football League and coached with the Philadelphia Eagles. And we really were so excited when a spot opened up and he was able to come back. He is just an outstanding coach. He brings so much energy. The players love to play hard for him. He's an engineer. You know, he's not a guy that, you know, isn't a strong, intelligent guy. He's by far the most intelligent coach I've been around, and that shows in his ability to prepare. And special teams, a lot of tedious work in terms of that preparation, no different than in playing linebacker and all the things that we put on our guys, and he does a great job with that.
And special teams on your coaching staffs, that's been a stepping stone.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, it's such a huge part of the game, and we tell those guys, you know, you're a starter. You're a one on special teams. You're a starter, and that's going to play a big part in this game when you open up, you know, behind a little bit. We spend so much time between meetings and practice and camp on special teams, and hopefully it'll show on the field that we do a good job.
Talk to Mark Fassati and Tom Johnson. Next, we'll catch up with Stephen Thomas, the Tigers special teams coordinator and inside linebacker coach, a little bit later on. We're here till 8 o'clock at the Alchemist and Barrister, Witherspoon Street. in Princeton. We'll be right back after this. This is the Bob Saray Show on Fox Sports 920 of the Jersey.
The Alchemist and Barrister is proud to host the Bob Saray Show each week throughout the Princeton Tigers football season. Join them live at 28 Witherspoon Street every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. Check out their variety of 56 diverse beers on tap and these Thursday specials. $6 local beers all day. Bud Light 23-ounce drafts and Miller Lite bottles are just $4 during Thursday night football games. Every Thursday is also pasta night with wine and Jack Daniels cocktail specials that complement your meal. Visit the Alchemist and Barrister in the heart of Princeton and online at theamb.com. The Alchemist and Barrister is proud to host the Bob Saray Show and support the Princeton Tigers.
You're listening to the Bob Saray Show with Princeton football head coach Bob Sarays. Live from the Alchemist and Barrister on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
We are back here at the Alchemist and Barrister, the proud host of the Bob Saray Show. We're here every Thursday night for the next 10 weeks. Join us here for the latest on Princeton football and enjoy drink and food specials all night long. Check out their menus at theamb.com. Cody Crucial back here, joined by two senior linebackers, two senior captains, Mark Fassati, Tom Johnson, finally getting set for the season opener. I talked to Bob about this. Guys are probably chomping at the bit to line up against somebody that's not wearing orange and black this Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a long camp, you know, especially starting later than the rest of the FCS and FBS. You know, you watch those other guys play on Saturdays, and it just makes you even more anxious.
Yeah, definitely. You know, as Mark says, we're ready to hit someone who's not wearing the same colors, you know.
Let's go back to last season. We talked a little bit about it earlier. We'll talk about it a lot tonight. All the injuries, it seemed like it only affected the defensive side of the ball. And, Tom, from your standpoint, they had six or seven starters out by the last week of last year. You were kind of the last man still standing. Only two guys started all 10 games last year at linebacker. Did you feel any pressure for that? That was your first season as a starting linebacker. You moved around a little bit, and really you were the man in the middle by the end of the season.
Yeah, you know, I think that that the guys who stepped in, you know, did a great job throughout the entire year. You know, taking the pressure off me, I don't consider myself the last man standing because, you know, we pride ourselves on that next man up mentality, and we had guys coming in all year who were doing a great job. So,
are you guys seeing that in camp this year where you have players who weren't stepping on the field in the first half of the season? They were starters by the second half. Are you guys seeing that competition from guys who – now have those game snaps?
I'll take it. Yeah, I definitely think there's a bit more urgency now through the guys who are now, you know, if they are second or third string, they you know, they're always ready to play at any moment, and you can definitely see it by the way we're practicing. You know, those guys getting their mental reps in, working behind you know, the ones and twos.
Mark, I know last year it was your first time in a starting role after playing pretty significantly on special teams the first couple of years. Last year, San Diego, 12 tackles. Week two, Lafayette, 11 tackles. You had to be feeling pretty good before that injury.
Yeah, I was feeling good. You know, it's real easy when you have, you know, such great teammates behind you. You got a great D-line up front who eats up most of the blockers and frees up Tom and I, and we just run around to the ball and, you know, do the best we can to get them down quick.
Columbia week three, again, off to a good start for you. Sort of walk us through that play in the third quarter.
Yeah, it was just you know, a simple blitz up the A-gap, and I got the guard to come back and block me, and he happened to knee me right in my my leg, and, you know, that's when I went down. I stayed in a little bit after that, but, you know, I realized I couldn't really continue.
I mean, you're a senior. I assume that you're not thinking, okay, the Ivy League rule is that if you play through 3 weeks, you can't come back. That's probably not going through your mind. I mean, were you thinking, hey, this might be the last snap I played on a football field?
Yeah, absolutely. When they took me off the field for the first time, they said I wasn't going back in the rest of the game. I knew it was pretty serious. And, yeah, like you said, I wasn't really thinking about, you know, the Ivy League rules, 30%. So it was a little heartbreaking at first to hear that, but definitely somewhat uplifting to hear that I had another chance.
What was that rehab process like?
It's pretty simple. I mean, a broken leg is probably as easy as it gets. You know, you just got to throw it in a cast and, you know, wait it out.
You guys were on our video series Beyond the Stripes this week, and I see Tom laughing. You know, you break your leg. We want to do a segment, Bad Medical Advice with Tom Johnson. What did you tell Mark?
Yeah. I mean, Mark comes off, you know, and he turns to me and he's
like, it was three words.
Yeah, he's like, hey, tape it up, you know.
Yeah,
tape it up.
I'm getting advice to tape up
broken
leg.
Just tape it up. Yeah. You know, that's all we need. Get back out there.
It works for a little bit, like about 20 seconds.
Talked about your rehab process. From a defensive standpoint, let's talk about another rehab process. John Lovett, you guys see him on the opposite side of the football, probably happy you don't have to stand on the opposite side of the line of scrimmage on game day. How has he looked coming back after missing last year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's looked tremendous. It's real frustrating practicing against John. And sometimes, you know, you see him, how bad he burns us sometimes, and you get angry, but you have to realize, you know, John and the rest of the guys on offense are just, you know, they're at the top of their level, and it's not as easy as you think, you know, to keep up with them.
You look at this offense, and normally you wouldn't think a linebacker or a defensive lineman would be a size mismatch against wide receivers, but with the guys that you have, Steven Carlson, Jesper Horsted on that side of the ball, it's tough guys to game plan if you're a defense.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, the way we've been throwing during camp, it's a really good challenge for our defensive backs, and it's getting them a lot better too. You know, those guys, they walk around campus together, they do everything together. You know, the Carlsons, they can catch touchdowns. So,
Mark, you're both of you guys New Jersey natives. Mark, St. Joseph's Regional up in Bergen County, the Gatorade Player of the Year as a senior.
Yeah, my senior year.
And then I also read in your bio that you once kicked off and recorded a safety on the same play. Can't imagine too many guys in the history of football at any level have pulled that off.
Yeah, I don't know how that really happened. It was a while ago, but no, we ran this kickoff where I was a kicker in high school. I played soccer growing up, and so I have a pretty decent leg, I like to think. But I was also, you know, a pretty good tackler, starting at linebacker for us as well. So they said, you know what? What the hell? Just send him down now on kickoff. We'll have a defensive back be our safety guy. They sent me down on kickoff, and they must have fumbled it up or something like that back there, and I was able to tackle him in the end zone.
We'll have Stephen Thomas, your special teams coordinator, on a little bit later on. Do you ever try to talk him into letting you kick off?
You should hear the meeting rooms. It's every day. Every day it's constant.
He's sitting across from us. He's laughing. Yep.
Yeah. If our kicker misses even just one in practice, I'm giving it
right
a
in
heavy
right
grunt.
In his ear.
Four captains. You guys are two of them, along with John Lovett on offense, Kurt Haluba alongside you guys on defense. We'll start Mark and then Tom. What does that mean for each of you guys? This is a program that's been around for a century and a half, and you guys are the four that were elected by your teammates. This isn't a Bob Sorace decision or a coaching staff decision. What does that mean to be named two of the four captains of this program?
Yeah, it's a big honor. You know, it's coming from program history. I mean, we're coming up on 150 years. You know, to be named, I was just named the 188th captain. It's a pretty special feeling. I'm sure I speak for, you know, all the captains. We're truly honored and to leave our legacy for this upcoming season. We're excited for what's to come.
Yeah, it's very special. You know, it's one of the more proud moments in my athletic career, and you know, I'm really excited to go out there and kind of make a name for us as four captains this year.
Mark, let's go back a couple of years. Final question before we head to break. When you're looking at schools, going through the recruiting process, why Princeton? Why was this the right fit? Obviously, a New Jersey guy.
Yeah. Well, first thing, New Jersey, very close for me. I'm only about an hour and 15 away. That was huge for me and my family. You know, especially so I could stay home, see my brother a lot more. But you know, other than the fact that you know the number one school in the nation, I mean. I fell absolutely in love with you know, the coaching staff here, and I tell kids that now, even when they come on recruiting visits, you're doing the recruiting. You got to recruit the coaches. You got to see who wants you, and that was the biggest thing I saw. I saw these coaches put a lot of time and effort into trying to get me to come here, and I saw that they wanted me, and that's what eventually made me come here.
Tom, ask you the same question in the next segment. You guys mind sticking around for another one? I know you just got your food order in before we had you on the air.
Yeah, no, we got some time. We're good.
We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll keep going with Mark Fassati and Tom Johnson leading up to the Princeton football season opener this Saturday on the road in Indianapolis. The Tigers taking on the 2-0 Butler Bulldogs. Back at the Alchemist and Barrister in Princeton after this. This is Fox Sports 920, The Jersey.
It's time to talk Princeton football. Live from the Alchemist and Barrister in beautiful Princeton, New Jersey, with the Bob Cerace Show. Here's Cody Cruchel and your Princeton Tigers football head coach, Bob Cerace, on Fox Sports 920, The Jersey.
Bob Cerace will be back a little bit later on. Right now, we're back for another segment with senior captain, senior linebackers Mark Fassati and Tom Johnson. Mark pumping his fist because the Burgers got here.
Oh, yeah, baby. Let's go.
Tigers getting set to open the 2018 season on the road this Saturday night against non-conference rival. The first time Princeton will ever play a game in the state of Indiana. Have either of you guys been to Indianapolis?
No. Guess I have.
Looking forward to it?
Can't wait.
Business trip, man. Business trip.
Tom, we'll start with you here. Last year, first year as a starter. This year, year two as a starter. A lot of your friends back around you. Has camp felt different this year? Do you feel more comfortable now that you have a year where you're playing 50, 60 snaps a game under your belt?
Definitely. You know, I'd be lying if I told you any different. I definitely feel a little bit more comfortable. You know, we had a chance. A lot of the guys out there, you know, especially up front, have had a chance to play together for a little bit now. So we're definitely more comfortable. I think it's let us do a little bit more this camp.
For you, a family affair. You're a senior. Your brother James is now a sophomore. Your cousin Sam is on the team. Have to imagine Thanksgiving Day got a little bit competitive growing up.
Yeah, back in the day, you know, me and Sammy were always lined up on different sides, and there have been some big clashes there. So. A little reckless these days, you know.
It has to be strange going to school with your brother. He's on the same team as you. He plays the same position as you. And you look at the depth chart this week. It's Tom Johnson, James Johnson. What's that like?
You know, it's awesome. It's really a cool thing and a special thing that I'm very grateful for. Me and James have actually had this in the past when I was a senior in high school. He was backing me up as well. And it's awesome. You know, he pushes me every day to be better, and you know, I push him. So it's a really cool dynamic that we have.
Last year, his freshman year, tough anywhere, tough with Division I football, especially tough with Division I football at an Ivy League school. Was he coming to you for advice, or were you pretty hands-off?
You know, I was pretty hands-off. James isn't the type of kid to lean on anybody. James is he's a hard-nosed kid who wants to do things for himself, and you know, he came out and he had what I think is a really special year for a freshman. You know, he was able to come in and compete and to push his team to be better. You know, and I think he had way more tackles than I had my freshman year. You know,
Mark, if you didn't know they were related, would you be able to tell?
On the field, not really. I mean, James is. We do this thing where we switch up. You know, just in practice, you know, one guy will go with the two. We'll both work together. So I've worked with James for quite a bit, and I really can't tell the difference. I mean, they both stand next to me, and they both play fast, they both play physical, and they both, you know, love to stick their head right in there.
You guys are both from St. Joseph's in high school, different St. Joseph's, Mark up in Bergen County, and then Tom St. Joseph's Prep, Springfield, Pennsylvania, outside of Philadelphia, and you guys had a pretty good four-year run there.
Yeah, we did. You know, we had some talent. We struggled sometimes out of conference, but you know, we were able to put it together when it mattered. You know, a couple times and get a pair of state championships. So we had a special team.
I have to mention though. I mean,
knew this.
We
was
did
coming.
We did scrimmage each other in high school.
You did.
Yeah, and it was an absolute blowout every time.
We won the first one. they blew us out the second one.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Don't get us started on this one.
Mark, you know, you go down with the injury last year. I see you on the sideline. Even when you weren't in the lineup, no lack of enthusiasm out there. Kind of feel like you were living vicariously a little bit through guys like Tom out there.
Yeah, Tom and, you know, especially John Orr, who took my spot when I went down. John did a tremendous job, and I did everything I could to just coach him up. You know, any little thing, I mean, he never really messed up too much. But, you know, even wrong step or something like that, I try and point that out to him. But, you know, it's a different role you got to play. And it's not as satisfying, but it's, you know, it's still helping the team.
Talk a little bit about your opponent Saturday, Butler, 2-0 off to their best start since 2009. One of the better wins in the FCS this year, that opening win on a late field goal with a couple seconds left, 23-21 on the road at Youngstown State. What did you guys see watching game film? Give me the scouting report on the Butler offense. What are you guys focused on?
Yeah, they're a tough squad, you know, and we're expecting a tough game. They're going to come after us. You know, they're going to try to get the ball out quick, and, you know, we got to be ready to rally. We got to be ready to line up and play the next snap. You know, we're excited to get out there and, you know, execute our game plan and get after these guys.
Yeah, they have tremendous receiving core. They like to throw the ball, and like Tom said, you know, it's going to take a lot of guys rallying to the ball, a lot of guys flying around. And, you know, the run will be the run. You know, got the guys up front handling that. Right now we're just real excited to play this game.
Pace Temple, their big receiver, had the 13 catches, I think, in the opener. And then Taylor last week did a lot of funky things to try to slow him down. What makes him such a challenge?
He's a very versatile guy. I mean, you know, he's tall, he's athletic, but he's got tremendous hands. You see him just go up for the ball, you know, like he owns it already. So it's going to be some competition for our DBs, which is good. But, I mean, they got guys like Jesper and Steve who they've been going up against all camp. So they've been practicing, and I think they're ready for this.
Kind of bookend this conversation before I let you guys actually eat your food. You know, to talk about being the last team in the country to open up your season, is it tough when you guys are at home? And I know you don't have a ton of downtime on Saturdays this time of year leading up, but is it kind of tough sitting there in your dorm and watching college football and not being able to get out there?
Oh, 100%. You know, we both have buddies who are, you know, playing at other levels, and you know, we're sitting back and watching them. It's good to have a chance to watch them, but at the same time, you know, we're competitive guys. We want to get out there.
Two guys who played on special teams early in your career. What should we know about Stephen Thomas before we bring him on next segment?
There's not much to say about
it. It's a dangerous question.
What do you want to know about him?
Yeah.
I guess we can ask him.
He's kind of a freak. I don't know.
We can leave it at that.
Yeah.
Mark Fassati, Tom Johnson, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you in Indianapolis. Good luck this Saturday, the season opener against Butler.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
You're listening to the Bob Surrace Show, live from the Alchemist and Barrister, with Princeton football head coach Bob Surrace and Cody Cruchel on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Here at the Alchemist and Barrister on Witherspoon Street in Princeton, the proud host of the Bob Surrace Show. We're here every Thursday night during football season. Join us here each week for the latest on Princeton football and enjoy food and drink specials all night. Check out their menus online at theanb.com. Cody Cruchel back here with a man who wears a couple of different hats for this Princeton football program, Stephen Thomas, the inside linebackers coach and special teams coordinator. Stephen, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
I know you're back here in a few weeks, and we'll have some of your special teamers on, so we'll touch on that in a few weeks. But tonight, talking linebackers, first talking a little bit about Stephen Thomas. You've been here twice now, so you must like the place on the staff here, 2012 to 2014, and then came back in 2016, timed it pretty well with that Ivy League championship season.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is my second stint here. My first 3 years, it was getting acclimated. I was coming back to the East Coast from traveling all over, having an opportunity to work down south, working in Delaware. I came to Princeton with Coach Race, and had an opportunity. Actually, it was my first time stepping on campus at Princeton. Being from Brooklyn, New York, never was on campus, knew about the program, knew about the school, but didn't, you know, never experienced it. So I had an opportunity now to coach at one of the best colleges in the university. And it was love at first sight. I love the staff, love the players. It was just great. And then obviously I had an opportunity to move on, but when that situation and time had moved on and career things happened, I was able to come back and phone call to Coach Race, and he just said, hey, we'd love to have you back. And it was love at second sight.
So you're from Brooklyn, played your college football up in balmy Buffalo, New York.
Oh, yes. Oh, it's cool.
Southern Miss.
So I was down there.
Delaware.
Yes.
Princeton.
Yes.
Philadelphia Eagles back to Princeton.
Yes.
You've kind of run the full circle.
Yes, yes. So I've been from Division III all the way up to the NFL and right back here at Princeton, yes.
I mean, is that what you recommend? And I know that normally is the path when you're getting into coaching or broadcasting or a lot of professions. Did that help you kind of going all over the country and doing some different things?
Oh, absolutely. From a recruiting standpoint, having worked at certain places across the country, you've kind of expanded your knowledge on football in different states. Having worked in Mississippi, we were able to learn about football in Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama. And that's why Coach Race actually gave me that area when I first came out here recruiting, to go see some ball in the down south. Being at the Division III level, you learned how to coach with limited resources. And so, like you said, a man with many hats. I had to take on many tasks. So here, doing linebackers and special teams is something, you know, I embrace.
2015, you were on the staff of the Philadelphia Eagles, kind of getting your foot in the door with the NFL. Talk about that experience.
It was an experience I did not expect. Just a small world. At the time, the O-line coach, Eddie Morrissey, was a GA at Oregon when Chip was the OC. And he just happened to have a random conversation with Chip one day. And Chip was like, hey, we're looking for somebody. And Eddie recommended it, and the job came up. Coach Race supported me nonstop. It's like, hey, if you get this, we're cheering for you. And it came up, and we got a chance to get to the league, and it was football. One thing about the NFL, you watch it every day, but one thing you don't realize, it's long. The season is long. You're going, if you go from training camp to the Super Bowl, you're going about 26 weeks, it's all football.
Let's talk about some of the guys here. Tough season last year to be a linebacker coach here at Princeton with all the injuries on the defensive side of the football. Flip side of the coin, you get a lot of those guys back. Almost an embarrassment of riches with some of the guys that you have to work with this year.
Oh, it's a good problem. It's a good problem. You'll never find a coach in the country that says, I have too much depth and be upset about that. Last season, unfortunately, you know, when you have one of your starters go down, that's why we preach, man, next man up. Tommy was getting moved into the position for the first time playing inside the box. But he was fantastic, and he ended up earning all Ivies. And Mark went down, and we preach in the room, man. It's the next guy up, and these guys kind of know. Coach Race jokes about the Wally Pitt story. And so these linebackers, you know, they're always, who's the next guy coming behind me? Jim John stepped up, Jack Simcox stepped up, John Orr stepped up. And now, like you said, all of those guys are returning that played last season. So it's kind of like five guys that we had that's right back here for the 2017 season.
Let's talk about these guys, and we'll kind of break it up. Mark Fassati and Tom Johnson, let's talk about them as players, and then we'll talk about what they bring from a leadership and intangible standpoint. Mark Fassati and Tom Johnson as linebackers, what do they bring to the table?
Without talking too much in scheme, I'd say these guys are physical, yet they're cerebral players. We put a lot on their plate. When we go to practice, if you stand on the sidelines and didn't know anything going on, and you saw a defensive come in, a signal come in, you see these two guys start chirping together, and then the call gets echoed out to the defensive line, the DBs and everything. They're the quarterbacks of the defense. They are smart. They get it going. They know how to play. They know how to practice.
Mark Fassati and Tom Johnson, now the leaders. There's four captains on this team. Two of them.
Yes. Two of them are in our room. I'd say it's like it's just another blessing. You know, when you have guys that played football, that have been bestowed the captain, the honor of being captains, it kind of makes you sit back and watch a little bit. You know, you have that opportunity to say, hey, man, these guys, roll the ball out, go get it done.
I forgot to ask them about it, so I'll ask you about it, and I'm a little bit bummed that he cut it. People that didn't get a chance to see the Mark Fassati get up during camp.
Oh, my gosh.
Describe it, rate it.
He had Mark's hair had to be shoulder length. Not shoulder length, full blonde. He actually came in with the blonde goatee also. He shaved that.
That was
up.
The tiger tail, wasn't it?
He did. But he's done this every year. Last year he came in with the stash. And so he has a different look every year, and he kind of caught me off guard. I don't go to the Jersey Shore, but Mark probably would be a Jersey Shore kind of guy.
Let's dig a little bit deeper. You played at the University at Buffalo,
yes.
and another former Bull in the news, Khalil Mack. Got to be kind of cool to see him develop into what he has, somebody who played on the defensive side of the ball at your alma mater.
Absolutely. when I talk to my teammates, some of them that are younger than me that had the opportunity to cross over and play with him as their senior year to his freshman year, they absolutely just rave about the young man. Said he's a ball player, and his story is very fortunate. Didn't play much football in high school, you know, getting up to that. So whenever we have an opportunity to talk about somebody succeeding from our program, we always put it out there. We stay in touch with our guys. You know, there's a couple of my teammates that coach collegiately, so we talk about it. We see these guys in the NFL succeeding, and I always love it when Buffalo gets an opportunity to get a shout out on TV.
I was at a game at the University of Buffalo once. It was second to last or last week of the season. I was down on the sideline. I think a can of soda froze. So I can't imagine taking that job at Southern Miss. They had to pull your arm too much.
Talking about going from extremes, one place where it may be snowing in May to when we get to Mississippi, I couldn't handle walking in my car without sweating profusely. So Southern Miss was something completely different. I didn't understand what 100-plus degree weather is plus 90% humidity. I appreciated the four seasons when I worked at Southern Miss. But then again, on the flip side, I appreciated having 80-degree weather in January. You know, it was great.
You know, you guys are here and you're prepping for Butler, and I have to imagine with some of the guys on the offensive side of the football, John Lovett, you guys run multiple quarterbacks out there. Game last year, Jesper Horsted, a receiver, threw a touchdown pass. I have to imagine that once you get into a game, there's not a lot that you haven't already seen in practice against your own guys.
Oh, without talking about schemes and schematics, Coach Gleason, they let these guys, Coach Cerace lets those guys be creative. And the best thing you can do is find ways to get your playmakers the ball. And we see things just about every day of the week, from formations to plays to whatever you can name it. It kind of makes us as coaches go back every night to the drawing board and say, hey, let's make sure we have something in if this happens or this happens, or, you know, checking it off. But, yes, absolutely. Our guys are very versed in terms of trickery.
Again, without going too deep into schemes, Butler this weekend, what's the challenge from a linebacker's standpoint? They have, talk about experience, you look at it, redshirt senior, redshirt junior. 10 of the 11 guys on the offensive side of the football are redshirt upperclassmen.
Yes. First thing is when we talk to our young men and they watch the film and they do everything and they evaluate the team that we play, we always give respect to who we're going to play. Like you said, with the amount of returning starters, very experience-ridden in terms of their offensive line. As we watch and you see and you read the stat sheets, they had a young man that went off absolutely in his first game, a wide receiver.
Pace Temple.
Yes. And so our guys are like, oh, okay, who is this guy? You know, first time playing an opponent, you got to make sure you give respect to your opponent. So we're going out there saying these guys are going to have a lot of experience. They played ball. They're 2-0, and they're going to give us their best shot.
Weather in Indianapolis looks like it'll be a little bit closer to Southern Mississippi at the beginning of football season than Buffalo over the winter. So
I can take that any day of the week. As long as it's going to be sun is shining, there's going to be a little bit of humidity, as long as it's not rain, snow, sleet, I'm okay. As long as it's not 1,000 degrees, I'm okay with that also.
Coach, we'll see you out in Indianapolis.
We're looking forward to the game.
Stephen Thomas, the inside linebackers coach and special teams coordinator for the Princeton Tigers. We'll be back with the head coach of the Tigers, Bob Cerace, after this. This is the Bob Cerace Show.
It's time to talk Princeton football. Live from the Alchemist and Barrister in beautiful Princeton, New Jersey, with the Bob Cerace Show. Here's Cody Cruchel and your Princeton Tigers football head coach, Bob Cerace, on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Princeton Tigers finally opening up their 2018 football season. This Saturday night, they go on the road for the first time ever, taking on the Bulldogs of Butler University, the 2-0 Bulldogs, off to their best start since 2009. That was a season where they ended up going 11-1. And this is a Butler team. We talked about it, Bob, during the first segment. This was scheduled a decade ago. You're not sure what kind of program there's going to be. You're trying to just get quality football programs. Probably can't take a ton out of last week's game, I imagine, for Butler against an NAI school on the road in the rain. But that opening game, 23-21 on the road against Youngstown State, I don't know that there's a better victory by a team this year in the FCS.
Yeah, no, and that game wasn't a fluke. I mean, they played well. They played well the entire game. Butler hasn't turned the ball over. You know, they play great football. They are incredibly well coached. You tip your cap to them because they execute at such a high level. Their quarterback is playing extremely well. I think he's completing almost two-thirds of his passes. They run the ball well. Pace Temple's as good a receiver as we'll see, and that I've seen since I've been at Princeton. And, you know, they're sound in every area of the game.
You mentioned Pace Temple, their senior wide receiver. That opener against Youngstown State, 14 catches for 167 yards, and then Taylor basically locked him down. They played 11 on 10 and doubled him up, and they held him to three catches. But, you know, I mean, how do you game plan for a guy like that?
Yeah, well, you got to be sound. You got to be good in your technique. One thing he does extraordinarily well is he makes contested catches. He does a outstanding job when the ball's in the air and it's a 50-50 ball. He came up with every one of them against Youngstown. Taylor took him away. They doubled him every play. And their quarterback, Marty, does such a good job reading the defense. And we just went to other guys, and they went up and down the field, and they ran the ball extremely well. They're averaging their top two backs over 5 yards a carry, and they're playing well in all three phases.
As far as defensive backs and covering up those receivers, I have to imagine you feel a little bit more comfortable with the unit heading into this season than last season when you played three or four freshmen in the rotation, and those guys are experienced, and those guys are sophomores, and then you throw Ben Ellis into the mix, and, you know, you've got your defensive backs back intact.
Yeah, no, we had to replace an entire secondary last year, and we saw the progress throughout the year, and Ben Ellis and TJ Floyd at safety, and, you know, CJ Wall on DeLon, and, you know, Trevor Forbes at the nickel, and we saw their progress in the pass game, especially, you know, throughout the year, but their communication on the back end has been so spot on. It's going to have to be spot on because they're going to be challenged every play against that offense.
One thing that I notice especially about Butler looking down the two deep in the roster, and we'll see it against Monmouth, and we'll see it against Lehigh at home the next couple of weeks. You look at Butler offense, 10 of their 11 starters are redshirt upperclassmen, so fourth or fifth year players. Entire offensive line is back. The defense, 9 of their 11 starters are upperclassmen. Especially early on in the season where they have two games under their belt, that has to, I don't want to say give you guys or put you guys at a disadvantage, but you know, it doesn't hurt. You can't really understate the value or overstate the value of getting guys in the weight room and building that extra year. Just a really experienced group you're going to line up against Saturday.
Yeah, we talk about all the time, control the things we can control. And we're playing by the same rules as the other Ivy League opponents and what we can and cannot do. And if we control those things and utilize the practices we have, the offseason we have, recruiting and doing those things, then we're putting ourselves in position to have a chance to play in competitive games against top teams. And we know the challenges in front of us. This is going to be a great challenge. And I really think that's helped our focus and practice. We'll see, you know, when we line it up, how well we came out of camp and how in tune we are with the game plan, the execution, what we're calling, how we're scheming, and all those things. But, yeah, they're you know, you watch Butler on film, and they are an extremely well-coached team. They play hard. They're physical. And, you know, if you didn't have to play them, you'd really, you know, want to call the coach, like, what are you guys doing? Because you guys are doing things right. And you know, we want to, we got to get to that level ourselves.
From your standpoint, it seems like every year on offense, there's one or two guys who didn't play a big role the year before, and they emerge. I think going back to last year, Steven Carlson, who I think had two or three career catches coming into last season, he hauls in three touchdown passes against San Diego. That third guy on the depth chart this week, Jacob Bermelin, he's a guy that I know you've been very impressed with in the preseason, just adding depth to that receiver core. And when you have two big guys that are out there, 6'4", 215, 220 plus, sort of a different mold.
Yeah, no, we are wide receiver coach Dennis Goldman, retired. And Dennis is a legendary coach. When they put a Hall of Fame up for assistants in college football, Dennis Goldman's going to the Hall of Fame. That's how good he is. And Mark Rosenbaum's come over and taken over a very experienced unit, and he's doing a great job with those guys. And not only Berm, but Alex Parkinson's had a tremendous training camp, and obviously Jesper and Steve are focal points, and you know Tiger Besh has really come on the last few days and really making some big-time plays. So we're real excited about that group.
take our final break. We'll come back and wrap it up. We're at the Alchemist and Barrister in Princeton. This is the Bob Surrace Show here on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Back at the Alchemist and Barrister, the Bob Surrace Show wrapping things up here on a Thursday night leading up to the season opener. The Tigers heading out to Indianapolis tomorrow. The first ever meeting against Butler. The first ever game against the Butler Bulldogs. The first game in Indiana. Did you happen to peek at the game notes or the preview the last time Princeton faced a team from Indiana?
Yeah, I don't miss a thing Craig Saxon puts out. And the 1920 battle versus Notre Dame had to be one great
Newt
game.
Newt Rockne.
Yeah, with Newt Rockne. And he was a little critical of the coaching staff back then. So it was interesting to read.
You guys are 0-2 against teams from Indiana. 1923 and 1924, Newt Rockne and Notre Dame. So well, not a lot of carryover from that game to this game.
No, we'll be in the same state, though.
One other game tonight, and a game with a little bit of a connection to you, Ravens at Bengals Thursday night football. Who do you got?
I grew up in South Jersey. I was a huge Philadelphia Eagles fan. And then as I got older, I became a coach and fortunately got to work in the NFL. I root for wherever my friends are. So Houday, Cincinnati, let's go Coach Lewis and get off to a 2-0 start.
Walk us through the next couple days. I know you guys fly out tomorrow, flying out of Philadelphia, getting into Indianapolis, a late-night kickoff at 6 o'clock. Sort of walk us through the game plan once you guys are out there.
Yeah, we practice in a little unique way. We're Tuesday and Wednesday, we're full gear. We don't go live, but they're good, hard practices. Thursday, we take the pads off and we jog. We don't break a sweat on Thursday, but it's a great mental day. Tomorrow morning we practice, and when we have road games where we have to travel, we'll practice in the morning. And it is as fast as you'll see our guys run. On a practice week, we will be flying around the field, but we only go for about 45 minutes. And then we get on the plane. It's a business trip where our guys understand all the sacrifices that the team's made to hopefully have a successful start to the season. And we'll get up there. We'll have meetings at night. Once we will have dinner and meetings at night. Wake up in the morning, breakfast. We'll do a walkthrough in the morning, get them out of, laying around on the bed all day. Give them a little time and have pregame meal at 2 o'clock and get ready to go.
Bob, we'll talk to you hopefully after a win on Saturday in Indiana.
Thanks, Cody.
That's Bob Surrace, the Princeton Tigers head coach. Again, Princeton opening its 2018 season this Saturday night for the first time ever, taking on the Butler Bulldogs. Kickoff at 6 p.m. in Indianapolis. You can go to GoPrincetonTigers.com for information and broadcast listings for that one. But until next week, for the head coach of the Tigers, Bob Surrace, I'm Cody Cruchel signing off from the Alchemist and Barrister. Thank you to our other guests, senior captains, linebackers Tom Johnson and Mark Fassati, and then Stephen Thomas, the inside linebackers coach and special teams coordinator. We'll talk to you next Thursday here at the A&B.